This is a continuing episode about the film The Xenophobes. The series started at episode 342.
Mommy's an angel of peace. She will stop the fighting.
You've got a husband and two kids. And Cottrell is...
I'm Lancer Kind. I co-wrote a science fiction film called The Xenophobes. It's about a crew of astronauts who traveled 60 years to make first contact with an alien civilization. And things, didn't go the way anyone expected. Not for the characters, and honestly, not for the people who made the film either. We shot this film during a pandemic. Our lead actor flew from Moscow to Manhattan, Kansas, through borders that were closing behind her. Our director was also our cinematographer and our editor, and the story we ended up telling feels even more relevant now than when we wrote it. These are some of the folks who brought this film to life. They were the actors, the director, support staff, and the technical staff. In this episode, we're going to hear from Kristen Tompkins. She did wardrobe, she did some management, and she did continuity, among other things. And if you don't know what continuity is, listen in and learn about this role that every movie requires.
Hi, my name's Kristen Tompkins. I'm a senior here at Kansas State University, majoring in apparel design production with minor in French and art.
So how did you find Xenophobes, or how did Xenophobes find you?
So actually I got an email for my department to be a costume supervisor for Sound of Music at the Manhattan Arts Center, and Penny Colors was in charge of that. And I talked to her being interested in an internship, because costume design has always interested me. And she said, yeah, I have a friend that's doing a film. And then I got introduced to Hal from email, and it kind of just set from that, and I've been on this film since May.
Wow, okay. And today is December, so you've been thinking about Xenophobes for quite a while.
8 months, yes.
So was there anything special that attracted you to take this on? Were you looking for any costuming work, or was there something particular about this versus other?
Well, I've always loved film, and being involved in film and doing costuming just seemed something that would be really a great experience for me, and it really has. I've done stuff from, like, ordering the costumes, contacting extras and cast, making, like, spreadsheets for them to figure out their sizes, do alterations, and then I've designed patches. So I've kind of gotten the whole experience, and then once we started production, I got to help with, like, the script and props. It's just been really, it's been awesome to be able to help with each section of the film and see from beginning to end. It's really awesome.
So what did you do on Xenophobes?
Oh, okay. My part of the film was I am the wardrobe coordinator and designer, as well as I've helped with production management and script reading.
Right, like three jobs, three hats.
Yes. Started with wardrobe, then designing, because I first came on thinking that I was going to be with another coordinator that would help me learn, because I had no previous experience with doing theater, film, or anything like that. That's kind of why I wanted to do The Sound of Music, because I thought it'd be cool to do costumes for a play. And that led to film, and I was going to originally work with a team on Sound of Music, so it was kind of crazy to think that, like, all of the work that I've done, I thought that I was going to need a lot of help on Sound of Music, which there were a lot more characters, but, like, doing a film by my entire self is a lot, and I don't think I ever expected, especially being a senior in college, being able to fulfill that. So
Nice work.
Showed me what I can do if I really put my mind to it, as well as, like, I guess there's nothing I can't do. Like, I should be more confident in my abilities because I don't give myself enough credit, I guess.
Nice. All right. So. Well, hey, you stretched yourself. I call it stretching yourself.
Yes, I got good at multitasking.
You maybe
I can
got
tell
to
you
an
that.
Edge, an edge like, oh, I don't think I can make it. And you get close to the edge like, oh, that's not so scary. I can handle that.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to experience it for a while.
Yeah. I had some moments that were not the best with, like, school and everything. But I got everything put back together.
Oh,
and
good.
I was like, let's continue. Yeah, when we started filming, I was so excited. Like, I had never experienced anything. So, like, going to set, I was just like, what? And it was really fun. So being a full-time student with this project, it was difficult at times because of the pressure of doing a film. But originally with Sound of Music, I had never had experience with doing costuming and doing anything for, like, plays in general. And so I thought that Xenophobes would be a really good experience, and knowing that...
So it's challenging, right?
And yeah, it was challenging. Oh, and I guess I'll start with the moment. So, like, the first day of filming, I learned that you need to be more confident, and this production experience has given me more confidence. I've always been worrisome of what I say. I don't want to overstep anything or be demanding or controlling. And so it's just given me the skill of being more confident, speaking up for myself. I remember the first day we were on set, Marty's gun fell off. I was going to put it back on, but Hal said we were losing light, which was true. So I said, okay, I'll leave it alone. And then when Marty got back and shot, I was like, okay, he needs to put it on. He's like, no. I said, no, it needs to be put on for continuity reasons. And so I would never have done that before, because just, like, speaking up for myself would be just, like, worrisome. Be like, whoa, did I really just, like, did I talk back to them? Did I just, like, make them mad? And so, like, being on, like, the script as well, or, like, for wardrobe, seeing, like, an outfit's wrong, I'd be like, whoa, you need to fix that. Or something I'm really good at. And I was a competitive gymnast, so that might be it, but I'm really good at noticing little quick fixes. So if, like, an actor says that word and they don't say it the next one, or if they do the same motion and all of a sudden they do a different motion, I want to do continuity, so when Hal goes back in post-production, it's a lot easier for him to pick out that word with that correct motion rather than, like, a weird motion.
Yeah.
Because there was a scene yesterday, I think Chris, he smiled because his stomach growled.
Right.
And I was like, why are you
smiling?
It was a serious scene. Yes. And so Hal didn't catch it, and I kind of catch those little details. And redid it so it'd be continuity. So it'd just be a lot easier, I guess. And that's kind of one of the skills that I think that I bring towards the film, is making sure those little details, like buttons and facials and head movements and those kind of things.
Nice, yeah, so. Yeah. You're like the quality assurance department, you know.
I guess,
missed it, you see it. Oh, hold on.
I did quality assurance in my program for projects and stuff, so. Yeah, I'm really good at looking at those little details, and I guess that could be from gymnastics, of having a hand there, a foot there, point, your head tilted for, like, routines and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's kind of progressed into, like, when I did sewing and stuff, or, like, little projects. Okay, her hand needs to be moved that way. I'm better at it when it's in action, when it's, like, you know, if it's, like, on a piece of paper or whatever, I'm decent at doing that kind of stuff, but it's really easy for me to notice it by motion, because I've done that. I did competitive gymnastics for, like, 8 years, I think it was, and so I've just been really good at, like, I'd have a coach be like, no, you need to move your hand that way, and so I got really good at, like, catching myself when no one else was watching me.
Nice.
It's a hard skill to learn, but once you learn it, it's really easy, and it's really helpful in situations like this.
So tell me about the costuming of Xenophobes.
It is going to be more of a retro, and so we have some older used military surplus uniforms, and I created a patch that was more realistic towards, like, NASA using the American flag, but also space, and so it has, like, the stars outlining it, and it kind of just gives it that science fiction look. Really hard to explain it, actually, but I just messed around with some fonts, and I actually used a font I used for one of my previous projects, And so it just gave that space feel. But I started from something that looked like Arthur, and I worked my way to a realistic space patch. And so it was a really interesting experience, a little difficult at times, but it turned out really good, and I'm really happy with what.
You said something about Arthur.
Arthur. Oh, yeah, Arthur the cartoon.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It didn't have any space feel. It was just like block letters.
Oh, okay.
And so I looked at it. I'm like, this reminds me of Arthur. That's not gonna work. So I kept messing with the font sizes and shapes to make sure it looked authentic, because this is gonna be like made and shown as it is on a space ship. So,
what was your biggest challenge?
Biggest challenge with costuming or the experience?
Let's start with costuming.
Costuming, biggest would be probably sizes. Mm. It's very difficult to get a hold of people and figure out what their sizes are so you can order the correct, like, uniform. And also, we didn't have, like, a big variety of sizes, so I kind of just had to, when we did alterations, I was just like, try it on. And then some of it worked perfectly, and some of it was like, okay, I have to fix a little bit. But all together, it was actually really, really good. I thought I was going to have to do a lot of work, and on top of being a full-time student, it was definitely a heavy workload. And so then with the project, it was very difficult communicating with extras. Since they aren't, like, legally, we don't have, like, a contract for them, it's just been difficult getting a hold of them, and also being in Onega with no cell signal besides Verizon. You don't know if you get a phone call or text or anything like that, and so just kind of hard to communicate, like, locations and stuff, since they aren't involved around the rest of the production.
So what else are you doing on the film?
Yeah. Our production manager is actually offsite, and so I've kind of helped Issa with that position of, like, contacting, making sure extras are on set, making sure we have everything set from, like, the scenes, make sure we stay on, like, the time schedule that we're supposed to be on.
Project management, that's what that sounds like.
And then I help with the script to make sure that we have, like, the right wording if people need lines and stuff. I help them with that. And then also something fun is when the actual actors aren't there, I act out and I get to say their lines, which is actually pretty fun.
Oh,
I'm gonna
lie.
Gotta help with my acting, even though I've never had previous experience.
Cool. Wow. So you read through the script to... Why do you do that?
I was actually doing it kind of boring the other day, and Hal was like, you need to act it out. And so I acted it out, and they're like, whoa, that was really good. I'm like, thank you. That was, you know, premiere there. But it's just to give them the idea of what the emotions and the actions of that scene are, so they can get more in character and feel how that character should feel.
What's your favorite scene?
I'd say probably the fortification plant when they go and Marty... he doesn't mean to, but he kills the maintenance man. Barry. Oh my gosh, Barry is too funny. Oh my gosh, he was great. My favorite part is actually when he drops his, like, wrench or whatever, and he says, I only just saw you. And he runs and he falls. It was pretty great. And then I also made a shirt, so I've actually never done iron-on transfers before, and that was my first time. And he was like, did you buy this? I'm like, no, I made that yesterday. And he was like, it looks great.
Nice.
Because I had to have his shirt shipped. And so then I actually took the ironing. I ironed it, and then I took him off a couple times because I was like, this needs to be perfect because it's going to be on a film. Mm-hmm. So my name's attached to it. So every single thing I've done in this production has been, like, the highest of quality I can produce.
Sounds like you've read through the script a bit. Did this movie pose any questions to you about our society?
In a little bit, the script. So, like, the part that I had a hard time understanding was, I guess, like, the time that's passed and how that has reflected. But I've never really thought about, like, a drug or whatever that would stop, like, violence and that would be interesting, but there's also, as you can see, there's some side effects to that. And so I hope that doesn't really happen to the world. I hope that just, I don't really know how to explain that.
So tell the audience a little bit about that time part. You said the time is
the time
large. There's differences in time.
Oh, yeah. So how they're like, it takes place in like 2200 and how time is like different in space as it is on Earth. So it's like 6 years, I think, that's passed in space.
Space time, right.
And then only, and it's been 200 years.
So approximately, I don't remember exactly.
I don't know exactly, but approximately 200 years on Earth. And so time has really changed. And yeah.
And so the astronomers get to another planet, there's an activity that happens, an encounter that happens,
mm-hmm.
and then they have to come all the way back to Earth. And so a lot of time has passed. So this movie's about astronauts leaving Earth the way it is today, or the way it was when they left, and then they come back and it's a really different place.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you would like to bring up?
I don't think so. I just want to thank Hal and Penny for the opportunity and this wonderful experience. It's been awesome, and all the people that I've worked with have been so good, and I've also like networked a little bit, meeting people, like how they have like those different connections, and learning more about how I can get more involved in the film industry and like design as well.
The Xenophobes is available right now on Amazon Prime Video. You can rent it for around $4 if you watch it and enjoy it. The single best thing you can do for us is to leave a star rating and a review on Amazon. And for goodness sakes, tell your friends to watch it too. For an indie film like ours, every review helps new people find us. You can find behind-the-scenes photos and updates on our Facebook page at facebook.com/apistrophepictures. There is a link in the show notes. What are show notes? Show notes show up right in your podcast player for your easy access. If you're using a podcast player, they're right there in the interface. If you downloaded the show from a website as an MP3, go back to the website where you got the MP3 and you will see the show notes there. And if you want more about the making of the film or some cool banners, type into your favorite search engine, lancerkind.com/xenophobes/banners. There, the magic of the search engine will bring you right to my doorstep and you will be able to click and download whatever banner you need for whatever social media situation you've got. Sport your colors and show off to people about this film. So that will help spread the word, and we will love that. You should download your Xenophobes banner today. Next episode, we talk to Charles Sutherland, the talented actor behind specialist Martin Stewart.
Should we talk about Marty now?
Sure. Well, yeah, Marty, he's kind of, you know, Marty's a maverick, kind of his own man, and he's kind of the sacrificial lamb, so to speak, of the project. I like to look at him as trying to save humanity.
How's Marty doing that?
Well, he feels that humanity's being enslaved or controlled, you know, by a certain substance that's being put in our food, and he realizes that when he's not ingesting that he's himself, and he realizes people need the same wake-up call, so he tries to give them that opportunity by formulating a plan to destroy this food fortification stuff that's being put in food.